We had breaking news overnight as President Trump and the Trump administration stop a World War III situation.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you today at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air. We're covering the breaking news that came out last night, and that was that the Trump administration was working with Israel because Israel had planned an attack in Iran, and they said, hold off, before we do that, before we move to a military option, let's see if we can get to the table. And we know precisely that's what's happened. Now, these reports come out. Obviously, a war between Israel and Iran would have to be supported by the United States of America and our you know, needs and whatever we have to utilize to help them. And I think that is where it got a little bit hairy for this administration, saying we don't want, as we could, as we've learned, the Trump administration is not war hungry to jump in and do these kind of things.
That's right. This report out of the New York Times details that Israel had plans to attack nuclear sites in Iran in May, so just 2 weeks from now. And it gives a lot of detail that originally the plan was set for November, but Prime Minister Netanyahu wanted it to be earlier than waiting that long and wanted it in May. They were optimistic that the United States would sign off on this, but it took a lot more than just the United States signing off on this. The United States would have to be an integral, a part of this. They Right. would have to not only help defend Israel from retaliation, but many of the plans included the U.S. itself conducting bombing because Yep. of the 30,000-pound bunker busters that we have in our arsenal to get into some of these nuclear sites. Israel would need U.S. support for this to be successful. And as of right now, the President Trump, after consulting with Susie Wiles, Tulsi Gabbard, Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense and the DNI, that he has decided to stick with this diplomacy plan, of which we have round two of just this weekend.
And that's for now. Remember that. We're not saying never, because look, with Iran, who knows how these are going to go. But you know what? I am happy with an administration that's willing to have these conversations with a country like Israel that we obviously are very supportive of, but say, you know what? We appreciate your thoughts, your plans, but first, let's see if we can avoid more bloodshed. And I think that is very important. I think that's important as America moving forward, that we aren't always just jumping into a war that we have to support or not. Whether we support the war with Iran or not, it may be something that we say as an American people, you know what? Enough is enough. But let's not start there. That doesn't have to be day one. Let's get to the negotiation table. Same with like what happened with Russia and Ukraine. We decided, we picked a side really quick and decided we were going to support them with equipment and money and funding. And look, I think we all know how that's going and how the American people have soured on a lot of what we've done there. We know that's what kind of what happened in Iraq, where eventually people kind of soured on what we were doing there. So the American people, though, they are happy to immediately respond because we have those kind of hearts that want to jump out and help. I do think it's good that you have a president who's willing to take a breath, listen to those advisors around him, and realize he put together a team that people voted for, and that team is not a warmonger team. But you may have disagreements with that. Look, we had on Mike Pompeo yesterday. He had his thoughts and said, look, I'm happy the negotiations are happening, that there's a diplomatic process that can go, but don't trust them and certainly don't let them continue to enrich uranium. We'll keep that conversation going. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We also have some ACLJ stuff to cover with CeCe Heil coming up, including a really interesting moment that happened while we were on the air yesterday. So you know that our team is continually at work. So when you hear us here, there are hundreds of lawyers. There's hundreds of media team out there working on your behalf, and we can't do that without you. And we also have a big update in our Massachusetts case. So right now, I'm going to encourage you, go to aclj.org during our Life and Liberty Drive. Your donations are doubled right now through the end of the month. Do it right now. We'll be right back.
champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. And I see a bunch of you are just jumping in right now on YouTube and Rumble. So I want to reset what's going on. This news broke overnight, and that was that the Trump administration was having some high-level meetings with Israel, encouraging them to put a pause on their plan to go to war directly with Iran in the month of May, so just in a couple weeks, because that plan needed not only American support, needed American equipment and Americans to do this, to potentially go in and defeat all that's happening in Iran. And we're not saying that's off the table, but we are saying it's temporarily off the table as America is currently meeting and having negotiations and sitting down and having diplomatic meetings. Again, I think we'll talk about this with Rick Rennell a little bit later. I think what's always important is to remember to reframe how you think about this. Just because you're sitting down across from someone doesn't mean they're your friend. In fact, it could mean the opposite of that. You know, think about it in a way of a court case. You got to sit down across from your opponent, or you have to actually face them person to person and actually handle it. Doesn't mean you're sitting being buddy-buddy handing them a big red reset button or anything like that.
That's happened before, though. I've seen a red reset button. I can't remember who did that.
It was
Something, didn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it spelled, it was in wrong, the wrong phrase in Russian.
Right. But, close enough.
Ah, Hillary, that's who it was. I forgot. Sorry.
Sorry, you had deleted those
emails. I bleach-bitted that part of my brain.
Yeah. All right, phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. But, Will, as I just see, there actually is a spike of people watching right now. Why don't we go over a little bit of what happened here, like we did in the first segment, and then what the current plan is in our talks with Iran, because that's going to continue over the weekend. Again, a very busy weekend for people, Holy Week for Christians, Passover for Jewish people, and hopefully for you Christians as well. Like I said, the stories kind of work together pretty well.
Right.
But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so this comes out of the New York Times, and it reports that Israeli officials had developed plans to attack Iranian nuclear sites. Their goal was to at least set back Tehran's development by a year or more. They originally had a plan for November, which would have been much more aggressive, would have had Israeli commandos going into the sites and actually sabotaging and destroying the sites. But that would have required mostly American air cover and bombing campaigns while they were doing this. But then they, at the behest of the prime minister, who wanted this done much earlier in the month of May, came up with other plans. And these plans would have been mostly bombing campaigns, but it would have required substantial American assistance, not just support in the sign-off phase, or even if you're attacked, we can help. This would have required active participation of the U.S. military. The Israelis were at first thinking that they could get there. They could get the Americans to sign off on this. You remember that meeting in the White House that was about the tariffs when Prime Minister Netanyahu came to America right after the Liberation Day announcement to have this first meeting with President Trump? The optics of it was for the tariffs. The reality of it, we're learning, was for discussions about this, high-level discussions between the Prime Minister and the President and the teams with them about this attack. And where this started to shift, and I think this is what's really fascinating with the state of the current administration, the Republican Party, and even the people within the cabinet, is that, once again, as much as the left wants you to think that President Trump is trigger-happy, just wanting to press that button to send missiles at our enemies, he was listening to counsel from his advisors. And specifically, Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, brought to the table new intelligence that, with an assessment that the buildup of American weaponry could potentially spark a wider conflict with Iran, which the U.S. doesn't want. And Ms. Gabbard, as reported, along with Susie Wiles, the chief of staff, the defense secretary, Pete Hegseth, who has been very vocally saying, we will not hesitate to use a military option against Iran, and J.D. Vance all voiced their doubts about the attack, which ultimately the president chose. We are going to continue. We are going to do tough negotiations, and we're going to see if we can get something out of that before resorting to what should be the last resort, a military strike.
Like, as we head into this holiday weekend, I did want to give you a moment to let us know what you think. Do you are you sort of in a position right now where you think America should be going into these conflicts, into these wars? And a lot of times, look, the best interest of Israel is usually in the best interest of America as well. It's not like Iran is a friend to any of us here in the States or in Israel. What do you think we need to do? I'd love to hear from you. As I always say, you're one of the most important voices in the room, and I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Again, that's at 1-800-684-3110. As we celebrate this weekend, as we head into Good Friday tomorrow and obviously Easter Sunday coming up, what a perfect time to really put your prayers and thoughts with our team as well, because we are hard at work. And Will, we're going to break down in just a little bit how our ACLJ team cannot move fast enough, cannot move faster in terms of the work that we're able to do. You're going to really enjoy some of these stories coming up. And we also have a big update in the next segment on our fight back against the state of Massachusetts. You've heard about that. And this is the Life and Liberty Drive, and today we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the life side of this, because we know how important that topic is, not only for me and for you, but for everyone and for the ACLJ supporters, as it has been for the last nearly 35 years. We built that website also, remember, Choice Begins Here, to counter the campaign that was being run trying to target pro-life pregnancy resource centers. And we can tell you that thousands of people have been visiting that site, looking for locations of pro-life pregnancy resource centers. So look, that was not a ad campaign that was going to go out and say, go give money to the ACLJ. That wasn't the point. The point was to actually talk to the people who needed the help, who were seeing those avoid anti-abortion center signs. Instead, we were able to provide this ad campaign because of you, the supporters. There's some of them right now, if you're watching right now. Again, these are not an ad campaign to support the ACLJ. This is an ad campaign created by the ACLJ to help support pro-life pregnancy resource centers that don't have the money to take out these ad spaces all over Massachusetts and, of course, in very prominent areas in Boston. Now, we're in court. There's a motion to dismiss that's happening right now, and we are fighting back against it aggressively. And that has been scheduled for this May 8th. We need to make sure our team is ready. And as you're thinking about where to put your support, I encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ right now. This is our Life and Liberty Drive. We are well over halfway done with the month of April, and we really could use your support. Tax season is over. Hopefully you have a breath of fresh air right now, and this is a great time. Your donations are literally helping to save lives, whether that's in the court or as we said, by just building that counter campaign, thousands of people in that area. But the fight continues, and we need your support. This Easter week, give the gift of life. Go to aclj.org, scan the QR code that you see on your screen, have your gift doubled, because we've been working on this for almost a year now. Since last summer, when I first saw those signs on the street that said avoid anti-abortion centers, I was walking around Boston. I thought we had to do something. And now we are in court. It is scheduled. It is happening. And of course, they delayed it. They delayed it. They delayed it. Our ad campaign starts running throughout the state of Massachusetts. And all of a sudden, the court puts it on the docket.
That's right. And that's what we will be discussing that in the next segment with CeCe Heil. And that, I think it shows also the power of once you are there and they start seeing it, okay, now we're going to schedule the hearing for this motion to dismiss. And in this first step, which is the opposition, the abortion industry, and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts trying to get this thrown out of court, saying, no, we have the absolute right to use taxpayer dollars to discriminate against pregnancy resource centers because we don't like them and they don't offer abortions. That's what they're arguing. They're saying, throw this out of court. It doesn't belong here. Yeah, you can't sue us and tell us to stop this.
Pregnancy resource centers that provide prenatal, ultrasounds, a lot of the things that are needed. And then what always gets forgotten, and I always try to bring that up, is what they do post. And many of them have days where you go and you get clothes, formula days, special events. Some of them plan birthday parties. They take care of these mothers as much as they can, at least through the first year, for many of these pro-life pregnancy resource centers. They are there to help. And we get back also, we're going to tell you about a moment that happened while we were on air yesterday. Our team was, you know, if you ever see us sometimes pick up a phone or look down on a computer screen, it is not because we are distracted. It's not because we're looking at other things or even we're getting notes sometimes from our producers. Sure, that happens occasionally. But no, this is because there was an active ACLJ moment with our legal team put into action immediately on the streets. We're going to discuss that coming up. But before that, I want you to give us a call. I haven't heard from you today. 1-800-684-3110. There's some phone lines open as you go in to celebrating this weekend, hopefully with your family and your friends. Don't forget to support the incredible work of the ACLJ. Rick Grinnell is going to be joining us a little bit later in the second half hour, as well as CeCe Heil in the next segment, senior ACLJ attorney. And we'll be right back with more on Seculo, but right now I'm going to ask you, put up that QR code. I'm going to ask you, because this is what tomorrow, I know a lot of you are going to be off work or a lot of your kids are going to be home. This is the time to donate. Do it today during our Life and Liberty Drive. Your donations are doubled. Once again, go to aclj.org and scan the QR code that you see on your screen. And we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months, and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Welcome back to Seculo again. As we start to wrap up this week, I know a lot of you will be off work tomorrow, or maybe your kids are off school as we head into the Easter holiday. So if you're going to focus your time, this is a good time to do it. I want to tell you about the work of the ACLJ, because yesterday we were on the show. Like I said, sometimes you'll see us look down at screens. Sometimes we're talking to our producers. Sometimes we're trying to figure out what, you know, if someone's calling in. We got a little screen here. It tells us who's calling in. But sometimes it's because the active work of the ACLJ is happening in real time. And this show is live, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. That doesn't change. So if there's big work having to get done during that 12 to 1 p.m., it's not like we say, hey, hold off. You let us know. And that's precisely what happened. And it happened due to someone on our team having a personal connection, and the ACLJ staff and attorneys went to action immediately. Cece Hiles joining us, senior counsel here at the ACLJ. Cece, I want to give you a moment to share kind of what happens and why it's so important that we have this team that's available 24/7 on call. This is not, look, we're not stopping. Even this weekend, we'll have people working heading into the holiday. Of course, we try to let everyone have as much of Easter and Christmas and all the holidays off, but sometimes the law doesn't necessarily work that way.
Right.
Tell us about what happened yesterday while we were on air.
Yeah, so this is actually an incredible story, because we were able to jump in and take action immediately in real time. This was not something where we got called in after. You know, a violation has happened, and we're looking at filing demand letters or sending demand letters and filing lawsuits. This was actually happening in real time in Illinois. We got word that there were pro-life people that were in front of an abortion clinic, and that the police had been called on them, and they were ready to cite them. The police were ready to cite them for violating a signage ordinance. And so we literally, and again, I think this is just really amazing, and it shows how quickly our attorneys can respond. We literally got on the phone with the police officers who were there ready to cite these pro-lifers, and we were able to talk them through the actual ordinance and the elements of the ordinance and show them that our clients had not violated the ordinance, and so they were not cited and everything was good. And we will continue to follow this case because it's not over. But at the very moment when the police were there and ready to write citations, we were able to stop it in its tracks.
Yeah, actually jump into action.
And I think it's also important to point out, Cece, that why we don't just, okay, they're good, we stop the police from citing them to move on. The police were actually telling our attorneys that, you know, this wasn't them coming there on their own, that they decided to go after these pro-life advocates that day, is that they would said they were just following orders.
Right.
And that there were members of the city that were actively wanting this citation to go through. And so we know that in order to protect the First Amendment right, in order to make sure that they can follow out their convictions and use their advocacy in this way, that they aren't hindered in the future.
Right.
By another round of police officers, maybe ones that are just following orders, doing what they're told,
right,
but that weren't spoken to by our attorneys and walked through that. We know that they almost have this out for them at this point, and
yeah,
that they will be looking for another way to go after
Absolutely.
them.
And it's just like if anybody remembers our Smithsonian case, where, you know, the Smithsonian Institute kicked out pro-lifers, kids that came in with a Choose Life hat or anything that was pro-life. Just because you get to the bottom of, okay, it was this one bad actor who did it, or you stop that, it comes, usually the directive comes from somebody above them. And so just like in that case, we, you know, found out who it came from and we made sure that it got stopped at that level. We will do the same in this case as well. We will get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why our team, we're seeing a lot of people cheering everyone on, cheering the ACLJ team on in the comments. We really appreciate that. And of course, we can't do that without your support, because we're able to offer these legal services at absolutely no cost. And I know I push that, but again, there's a lot of new people who watch this show each and every day who don't know that. When you contact the ACLJ, and by the way, if you need to, all you have to do is go to aclj.org/help. Fill out a very simple form. You're immediately connected with an ACLJ attorney if your potential case is within the scope of the work that we do here. Obviously, we're not doing family law, that kind of thing. You know, it's religious freedom, things in that nature. So go to aclj.org/help if you need it. But we can't be there for these clients if we don't have the resources, because we want to make sure we can provide the best of the best. And now we are in court, finally, in Massachusetts, coming up in just a couple weeks. And this could be a make or break moment for this case against these pro-life pregnancy resource centers, because they are trying to get it completely thrown out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you tell this story so well, Logan, because you were actually there in Massachusetts and you were the one that actually saw this campaign as it was being rolled out in Massachusetts attacking pregnancy resource centers. And it's literally, these laws are viewpoint discrimination because they are promoting and highlighting a pro-abortion viewpoint. And if you have a pro-life viewpoint, not only are they discouraging that, they're literally going after you even legally. So we have filed a case in Massachusetts, and immediately they filed a motion to dismiss, which means they want the case thrown out, that it never goes to trial. And so we actually now, the court has scheduled an oral argument on that motion to dismiss on May 8th. So we will be in Massachusetts and we will be arguing against that motion to dismiss, arguing that our case should proceed and we should be able to come after Massachusetts for this violation.
What's the time period of that? If they say, hey, we want to do this, this oral argument happens, how long until we know if they have thrown it out or if they've sided with us?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, within, you know, 30 days, 60 days. Sometimes courts actually have limits. This is a state court. Okay. So sometimes courts have limits that they're,
so
you know, going to say.
Quickly.
Yes, we should know pretty quickly whether the judge is going to grant the motion to dismiss or deny it.
Yeah, and hopefully we're shooting for a denial. And look, even if they offer it, there's more that we can do. That's not the end of the road. Of course, you just keep pushing forward. So I encourage you right now, you got to support the work of the ACLJ. You got to hear what CC's saying, what our team is doing right now. It is vitally important. You know, these are, we're talking about the counter campaign. We are talking about having lawyers who are on the ground ready to work whenever they are called upon. Of course, you have what's happening in Massachusetts, including our, not only our counter campaign, but we are in court on May 8th. But our website alone that we built to counter that negative campaign has reached thousands. It's reached millions of people, likely, on the streets of Boston, the streets of Massachusetts. But it has really reached thousands of people looking for locations for pro-life pregnancy resource centers. And you could do some simple math and say that's a really good thing. That means hopefully a lot more babies are being born. Because the other side, we were seeing it. We were seeing the direct results. We saw abortions rise by 30% in the state, in the Commonwealth, if you will, of Massachusetts. And we saw a 30% decline, almost even, on those going to pregnancy resource centers. So we fought back, and we are doing it. And we are not only on the streets right now with our ad campaign, we are now back in court because, of course, it would happen a month after we launch our campaign. We launched the campaign at the beginning of March, and we just heard that it was scheduled last week. It was even supposed to happen a little bit earlier than this, but they decided to bump it back a little bit because of some school holidays and things that are happening in the area. This is going to do it for the first half hour of the show. The second half hour is going to be packed. Rick Rennell's joining us. We're going to take your calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. If you lose us here, we broadcast for a full hour. Some of your stations only pick up the first half hour, and how dare they? But if they don't pick up the full hour, I encourage you, go to ACLJ.org, go to our YouTube channel, go to our Rumble channel. You can find us broadcasting live right there. You can download the brand new ACLJ app, which thousands of you have, and I encourage you, if you haven't, it's a great way to not only support the work of the ACLJ with donations or signing petitions, you can also get all your updates and a real catered, customized to your preferences on the topics you care about the most on our ACLJ app. And of course, you can't do that without going to ACLJ.org. You can scan the QR code right now on your screen, because all donations are doubled right now. We'll be right back. Second half hour coming up in less than a minute.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Sekulow. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Second half hour of our broadcast happening right now. Rick Rennell's going to join us in the next segment. We're going to continue our discussion that we had. You heard about the ACLJ work in the last segment with CeCe Heil, but we're also going to talk about that closed door meetings that happened that led to at least a pause in a potential World War III style situation. That, of course, is when Israel was meeting with our administration and saying, hey, we want your help to go to war with Iran. And at least our team, including our friends Tulsi Gabbard and some of the others, pushed back and said, you know what? This is not the right time necessarily. Look, not saying it won't be the right time. At some point, we know that that is not off the table. A war with Iran is not off the table. But first, let's jump in and see if we can get this done without any more bloodshed.
Well, and I think also the Israelis have, to some degree, a different calculus and different prerogative than we have here in the United States, is that they are very close. They are seeing attacks by the Iranians and Iranian proxies nonstop. So for them, they may feel as if military option is the only option at this time. I think it also shows that this administration is trusted by the Israelis more than the previous administration. I don't know that they necessarily would have waited around for the go-ahead from the Biden administration, knowing how tepid the response and help had been through that administration. So there is much better goodwill between the American administration and the Israelis now. I know that clearly they would like to strike and put an end to that altogether. I also understand the caution and the cooler heads that prevailed within the administration, at least from a strike that would be taking place next month in May. We are less than 2 weeks from May, and that is very early in administration, especially when the president believes maybe he can. We don't know if he will be able to get to a deal, but negotiating, trying to figure something else out instead of just a few months into his administration, conducting and participating in a military campaign that could spark, when you already have the campaign going on between Russia and Ukraine, a much broader conflict in the Middle East, and knowing that the Chinese, the Russians, their relationship with Iran, it could literally have sparked World War III at a global scale very quickly. There's always been talk that we're on the doorstep of a World War III with what has been happening in the Middle East and with the Russia-Ukraine conflict. It would be something like that that could take it to the next level, to a true global conflict, a real hot war in that sense.
You probably will not realize you're in World War III until you're in World War III. Right. It won't be something that's like we wake up and we go, hey, today we're starting World War III. It is these moments that escalate and escalate and all of a sudden kind of explode. I also see a lot of comments coming in right now from our viewers who are saying, hey, I don't want to go to Boston. I don't want to support Massachusetts. We have great partners there. I just want to say that. Reason we are so adamant about this is, well, number one, we love our country. Great American history obviously comes out of Boston. The reason I was there, I love it there. But remember that not always the elected officials and the people that are, you know, pulling the strings in your state represent even the mass majority of the people that are there. Remember, that's what's happening. Sure, they're essentially a more liberal state, without a doubt. We have an incredible radio team there. We have an incredible team with our friends at Salem who put together with us. We worked with them to get that Choice Begins Here ad campaign. You had advertising sections that were willing to take those ads and, you know, broadcast them essentially throughout the state. So I'm not encouraging you to boycott a state. What I'm encouraging you to do is help us fight back, because there are great people in those areas that really don't want to see their state go down this path. So I encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. Now, however, my beloved Orlando Magic are playing the Boston Celtics in the first round of the NBA playoffs. So if you ever wanted to be mad at Boston, I'm okay with it this weekend. But
for purely athletic reasons.
Purely for the reason, well, our friend Jonathan Isaac is a great player on the Orlando Magic. We were going to play a video. We'll maybe play that video a little bit later today. He was in our last documentary, our last special, For the Love of God, Save Our Country. A great guy, but have a little fun here. But Rick Rennell is going to be joining us in the next segment, so stay tuned for that.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you: life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Do we have him? Is he on with us? All right. Rick Grinnell is joining us via phone today. Rick, a lot of things are happening in this country right now. Will, why don't you set up? There's some stuff happening in California.
That's right. We have to go to our national California correspondent whenever we see something happening out of that great state. So, Rick, Gavin Newsom, who's been kind of trying to court MAGA to some degree through his podcast, but now
at least trying to be friendly,
he's announcing that he's suing the Trump administration over the tariffs because of it's going to harm California's economy so much, ignoring the fact of all the things that Gavin Newsom himself has done to harm the economy of that state. But what's your take on this?
Yeah, you know, here in California, Gavin is being wildly mocked for this because he's probably the poster child for all 50 governors to show people what not to do with the economy. He's literally chased out our businesses. We've had people fleeing, businesses fleeing, jobs fleeing for the last, 7 or 8 years. So most of us realize is that when it comes to the economy, you should do the exact opposite of what Gavin Newsom says. The fact that he doesn't see the strategy that Trump has on tariffs doesn't surprise anyone. He doesn't have a strategic bone in his body. So he thinks that, you know, this tackling of the tariffs is a bad idea. But remember, the fact is that his own party is on the record as talking about how unequal the tariffs were and how someone needs to take them on. Nancy Pelosi has been screaming about it for a long time. And so he's missing the strategy, but it doesn't surprise anyone that he can't see it.
Yeah, I mean, the way he's presenting himself is sort of like the president of California, the king of California, the way he's even treated. So, you know, we're the biggest economy. Look, and I'm not downplaying that, and California is wonderful, and we love it. And just like, look, we saw people in the last segment saying, hey, we're going to start boycotting Massachusetts because of what they're doing to the pro-life pregnancy resource centers. We don't say that here. We actually think there's always opportunity to help. There's obviously great people like Rick and people in our Massachusetts offices who do great work, and they're not represented well. And they're not represented well, and you have someone like Gavin Newsom who seems to just kind of go where the wind takes him. If he can court people like a Charlie Kirk to come over and have a conversation with him, then that can bring in potential, you know, let's say voters in quotes in the next elections or whatever he decides to do next. It seems to be his MO. He just goes where he feel like he can get the popularity.
Well, we should make one thing very clear is that there's a group of us in California that are absolutely not giving up on California. We think there's a lot of opportunities right now. We will continue to fight for California. We have millions of conservatives in California. We just have a state that has a lot more registered Democrats. We're working on that. I particularly have been working on the voter registration the last 4 years. And we just got our numbers back last year alone. We at Fix California, my organization, registered 198,000 new conservatives, almost 200,000 new conservatives. Now, if we keep doing this, we're going to be able to throw the one-party rule in Sacramento out and really challenge people like Gavin Newsom, who don't know what they're talking about on the economy, who keep chasing jobs away, and then try to critique President Trump for you know, tackling these big issues.
Yeah, I see all the comments coming in right now. There's a lot of ACLJ supporters. Probably our first or second, it always kind of goes back and forth between Texas and California, where the most ACLJ, recurring ACLJ champions are right now. So I see a lot of the comments right now, like Tammy on YouTube saying she's a ACLJ champion in California. So we know that there's a big support group there. I have to say, there are many places where I can go around the country, and occasionally I'll meet a listener or a viewer who watches our show. If I go to certain areas of California, it becomes overwhelming the amount of people that do watch this show each and every day. So I want to definitely thank our California supporters and those who are still sticking up for the cause. And when you support the work of the ACLJ, of course, that's around the country and around the world. It's not just picking and choosing areas that are more red, or that, you know, a lot of times we're stepping into places like in Massachusetts that are certainly more blue, that we have to go and stick up for those millions of people, like Rick said, in California, even that are more conservative and are Christians. And that's what we have to deal with. But I wanted to make sure that that was clear, Will.
That's right. And Rick, just shifting topics here a little bit, this is what we kind of led the show with, talking about this piece that came out in the New York Times last night, that President Trump waved off an Israeli strike after divisions emerged in his administration, obviously trying to pit it, drive a wedge between the cabinet here by the New York Times, saying, you know, there's the hawks and there's those that are less hawkish and there's division now. But you read this, and what it seems is that even those that are much more hawkish, as they may say, looked at intelligence, read what was going on, and decided that they wanted to take a more diplomatic approach before going to airstrikes that we would have to have aided the Israelis in as soon as a few weeks from now. Obviously, we know the media is going to spin this, but am I reading that right? It just actually seems like a very well-functioning administration that doesn't want to go to war as the first option.
Yeah, look, I would add this is the New York Times, you know, they just criticize no matter what. For a while, they were saying that there's no debate in the Trump administration, that everybody thinks the same way. Now they're saying, oh, my gosh, there's such a debate that there's a division. I view it as a real positive that Donald Trump wants differing views. He's not afraid to have a debate. And matter of fact, I've been in the Oval Office enough to know that if everyone does agree on something, Donald Trump is the first one to make sure that that we actually have a debate. He'll look for ways to make people debate because he wants to hear both sides. He wants to hear all sides. He wants people to debate in front of him as to what is important and what's not important, and what priorities does one person see as the top priority, and then someone else argues for a different aspect. That is a healthy system. I think people should feel very good that when Donald Trump is in the Oval Office, he's getting a diverse set of views, and then he makes the decision.
Rick, I wanted to give you a moment as well. I know you've been a member of our team now for a number of years, and one of our most popular ones. We were having that conversation a few days ago because you totally understand our ACLJ supporters, our ACLJ listeners, what they care about, and the causes that are important to them. As we do head into a holiday weekend, it's obviously Easter. We are, you know, halfway through, if not more than halfway through, our Life and Liberty drive, and we're talking a lot about life right now, being that we're in the Easter weekend. I want to give you the opportunity, though, to talk to our listeners directly about, you know, the work that we do here and how you've seen it in action and why it's important to support the ACLJ.
You know, Logan, I know you know this. I went to Evangel College in Springfield, Missouri, National Assemblies of God College. And one thing I learned in college was this kind of message that Evangel pushed on all of us, which was all truth is God's truth, no matter where it's found. And I love this concept because it says that we have a responsibility to find the truth and to make sure that we support the truth, because the truth is God's version of the facts. And what I love about ACLJ is that we're constantly looking, researching, trying to find the facts that point to the truth, the greater truth, God's truth. And I'm just so proud to be a part of an organization that takes the time to look at the facts and then takes those facts and puts them into action. This is not an organization that is just about talking or press releases or pushing public affairs issues. This is an organization that employs lawyers and researchers. We get to the bottom, and then we know how to use the facts to fight. Out of all the organizations that I could have been a part of when I left the first Trump administration, I was so proud to be a part of ACLJ because of this fact. We're fighting for people on the front lines who look at the truth and want to fight for the truth, represent God's facts, and in turn, they just need help. They need someone to help them through the legal process or through the government's bureaucracy. But they know the truth. They just need a little bit of help. And when all of us join together and you know, ask for help, financial help, prayer, all sorts of all of the assistance that we can bring as the body of Christ, I think it's amazing to come together and be a part of this. And I hope I never miss the opportunity to be in this fight.
Rick, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for the very kind words. It's been amazing to have you part of our team. And I know that our audience, I see them commenting right now on YouTube and on Rumble, feel the same way. I do want to give you that opportunity now, folks. Well, as we head into the next segment, we do have a couple lines open. If you want to call in, get your voice heard, good time to get in line, 1-800-684-3110. We only got 25 seconds in this. I want you to go to aclj.org. You heard the incredible work that we're doing. We need your support right now as we head into this holiday weekend. A great time to have your donations effectively doubled right now. Scan the QR code. It's this Easter week. Let's give the gift of life right now. Scan the QR code. Have your gifts doubled. aclj.org. Right back with your phone calls.
Hey, everyone. This is Jordan Sekulow. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months, and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
All right, welcome back to Secula. We're going to jump right in and take some of your phone calls. There's still a couple lines open if you want to call in at 1-800-684-3110. Let's start off with Deborah, who's calling in Florida, who is watching or listening on the radio right now. Deborah, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. And we as the listeners want to say thank you for all that you're doing for us, that you all not grow weary in well-doing, and that you persevere so that we can all be champions for life, for liberty, and freedom. And we say, have a blessed weekend. He is risen. Thank you.
Deborah, thank you so much for your calls and your prayers and support. And also, you're in Florida. I want to at least acknowledge right now, if you're listening, there is some breaking news. There's some more unfortunate news that's happening, as there is currently, and we're praying for Florida as well, because there is an active shooter currently reported at Florida State University, where it appears to be many people have been already hospitalized or something like that. Again, the news is just coming out right now. So if you're listening to this live, again, that's from the 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time time slot. It would be 12:51 p.m. As we are just now getting those reports currently happening. Again, we don't know a lot of details, so we'll continue on with our calls, but we'll definitely keep you updated if anything changes. Bonnie is calling, watching on YouTube. Bonnie, wants some more information about everything that's happening. Bonnie, go ahead.
Yes, I would like to thank you also for the good work you guys do. I was raised in the church. The church never talked about abortions. Well, this was way back when. Mm-hmm. And in the 70s, even though I went to church, I did not understand the Roe versus Wade. So I, first time I was able to vote, I actually voted for that bill, and I've been asking God for, I asked God's forgiveness after that shortly. Once I got more involved with church, more faithfully reading my Bible, and you guys explain things so well that the average person can understand, and just thank you for the good work you do.
Bonnie, I appreciate that. And look, if you look at the history of the pro-life movement, it had to happen when it happened. Like you said, in the 70s, the early 80s. Because there was that propaganda campaign going through schools. Planned Parenthood was showing up in all of these areas and giving you incorrect facts to encourage the eugenics and destruction that they were doing across the country. But because of that, pro-life groups had to form in the 80s and really talk back to the church even and say, this is what the truth is and this is what is happening. So, Bonnie, I'm glad that you saw that even in your time, and we've been able to keep that legacy going now for the last 40-ish years here, supporting the pro-life cause and the pro-life community and with the ACLJ directly. Thank you so much, Bonnie. Let's go to Scott, who's calling in Nevada on line 4. Scott, welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to touch on the Iranian situation just real quickly.
Sure.
I was thinking that if there was ever going to be a time, and I'm not a war hawk, but if there was ever going to be a time where we're going to do something, this might be the time. The Chinese economy is very bad, and they have their own issues, and the Russians certainly can't provide weaponry or money to the Iranians to help them out, and nobody else in the Middle East has, you know, a taste for wanting to do battle on the Iranian side. So if there was going to be a time where we wanted to impede their nuclear program, this is probably it, because even a regime change probably won't change the fact that they're going to pursue a weapon.
Scott, and I think that is a big argument from the Israelis as well. They have decimated Hezbollah, and the opportunity for attacks from Gaza are not as as active right now. Obviously, it's still conflict, but just the multi-front war that Israel's had since October 7th, and now even with the bombing campaign from the U.S. on the Houthis, it has really taken out a lot of the Iranian proxies. The Assad regime fell. So Iran is very isolated from its traditional proxy partners. Russia, as you mentioned, having their own war going on, and China with the economy. But also remember, President Trump did give kind of a date that Iran has to do get this all done by. It's not just this open-ended 4 years keep going. I don't think that necessarily the trade war and the economic issues China has are going to be wrapped up anytime soon, as nor as the way it looks, the war with Ukraine necessarily ending before that window closes. So I don't think that it is a forever putting this off. And the Trump administration needs also to have that threat of military strike and decimating of Iran in order to kind of hold their feet to the fire in these negotiations. So I agree with your point. I think that is very much the Israeli point of wanting to strike while the opportunity is there. But I don't know that that window closes if we don't strike in the month of May.
I did want to take a moment now and give us maybe a little bit of a diversion, a little bit of something good to think about heading into the weekend. Of course, like I said, our Orlando Magic are heading into the NBA playoffs against the Boston Celtics this week. It's an uphill battle, but we are hoping and cheering on our Orlando Magic friends because of people like John Isaac, who is just J.I., is doing some amazing things, playing for the Orlando Magic and kind of reshaping the world of apparel in the name of the Lord. Of course, it is Easter week, and we did a special with him last year. And I wanted you to see like just a two-minute version of what he has done for this country and what he is continuing to do.
When I decided not to kneel or wear a Black Lives Matter t-shirt in the NBA bubble, and just a really difficult situation to deal with. And so everybody remembers the tragic death of George Floyd. And one, as a Black man, but also as a Christian, I was trying my best to rationalize what that meant and how I was supposed to step into the moment and share, even if I had to or if I didn't. But I remember my pastor was preaching and, he talked about the story of Jesus, healing the guy's ear that Peter cut off. And one of the things that he said was, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. And he said that if we step into this moment in the same way that kind of our nature calls us to, which is anger, get even, repay evil with evil, then there won't be any change. After I decided to stand, the next day we have practice, like everything keeps going. And we're leaving practice, headed back to the hotel. And I get a text on my phone in the bus, hey, team only meeting when we get back to the hotel. And I'm getting off the bus and one of my teammates nudges me and says, hey, just a heads up, this is about you. And so we get into this meeting and, it's hostile. And, one of the things that I understood was that, a lot of guys were really, serious about this. They were a part of the marches. This was really big for them. And I understood the seriousness and the sensitivity of the situation. And I wanted them to know that I wasn't, it wasn't about protesting them. And it wasn't that I didn't see the issue. I saw the issue. I just had a different solution. But it was tough. It was a really tough meeting to be a part of because, kind of my back was against the wall. And, guys were, upset with me and thought I was hijacking the movement and making it about me. And I was discouraged. In the meeting, they asked me, hey, are you going to do this again? Are you going to stand again? And I said, yeah, and kind of left it at that. And I remember going back to my hotel room. I think I was crying. I called my pastor and said, hey, this just happened. And he said, hey, you respected their decision to kneel and they should respect your decision to stand.
Great guy, a friend of our show here and a friend of what we do. I encourage you also to check out his clothing line, Unite Us. If you're looking for a great pair of sneakers or some shirts, some hoodies, whatever it is, sports a great cause and they all have Bible verses on them. My kids wear them proudly as well as I do. So again, I want you to check that out. Look, we're heading into the end of this show. A lot of you are not going to be listening tomorrow because it's a holiday for a lot of people. A lot of kids are off school. You're going to be busy. So when you're thinking about ways to support the ACLJ, this is a great time to do it. Don't get distracted because tomorrow is a busy start to a weekend, we know, of prayer and of thought and, of course, of celebrating a resurrected Savior. So we want you to be a part of the ACLJ team. We want you to be an ACLJ champion. Support the work today. You can scan that QR code right now as it's on your screen, and I encourage you to do so. Again, that's at aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Sekulow. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.